Welcome to minute 30 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Tierney Steele, a.k.a. One Steele Sister. Welcome back to the show, Tierney.
Hey, I'm happy to be here for a very exciting milestone, the first half hour.
That's right. That's right. That's very important. Only another 2.5 hours to go to the movie. So hey,
you're
good.
Reeling properly in it now, man.
for sure. So minute 30 begins with a woman looking intently at three different letters and ends with Sanders explaining things to his commander. So basically, we ended things yesterday with very curious character by the name of War Department Clerk, played by Valerie Colgan, who basically has found some sort of problem. And she's looking over numerous letters and trying to figure out what she wants to do with them. And this minute begins with her deciding that she's actually going to go do something about it. So what she does is she basically starts walking to the right.
Yeah, she
first of all, I got to give this actress a lot of credit because she does a lot by just looking back and forth between those letters, realizing that there is something major going on here and that she has to do something. So then basically she makes a quick turn to the left and spins around, and we get a shot of her walking towards the camera, now towards the back of the room. And what's amazing is that if you look behind her, so you can see a wall that's just filled with folders, presumably of copies of all these letters that need to go out. And that's just, it shows the grandeur of the whole thing.
Yeah, this is a good set. And good, they use it well.
Yes. And then she walks by a whole bunch of different clerks that are by their various stations. And then she walks into a little room. And we don't hear what she says, but we see that she starts talking to a man in the room. Now we find out via IMDb that this man is the War Department lieutenant, played by Eric Lorin,
also from the Boston area. Shout out to a local. I thought it was very amusing because he's done like a lot of video games, and so he's done a lot of like voiceover work, and yet we never hear him speak in this.
That's right.
Well, it's like, that's a beautiful little bit of irony.
It's similar to what we had in with Die Hard 3, that the actress who played Katya is a singer and her character is mute. So, just another one of those things that they like to do. I looked at his credits and there's really nothing that really jumps out that says that he did something. Yeah, but most of the characters that he's played are very small characters, throughout. But he was the cook in Memphis Belle.
Okay, but unfortunately, War Department Lieutenant, no lines, did not launch him to stardom. But that's okay. That's okay. No.
But he still gets credit, so you gotta give him credit for the fact that he gets credit.
You need that SAG card.
That's right.
All right. And then
now, according to what I found, one second before you jump there, what I saw on IMDb was that first of all, his original his born name is Darren Edmonton, and he apparently is a recording artist because it says that he recorded his entire CD on the beach in Costa Rica. So again, I don't know what that really means. My assumption is that it's from a singing career. There's no way of knowing that for sure. So yes, you started saying, so now there are two people who are interested in the fact that there are these various letters. that you know, she explains
good
to
for
him
him
what
not
they are.
being like, oh, you're a crazy woman overreacting to things. Like,
That's
no,
right.
we're all on board.
Well, again, I'm assuming that all three are probably addressed to the same address. So
Yeah, no, that's
be a
we
little bit
know.
difficult to
We know,
yeah.
but
Yeah, a little bit difficult to try and play that one off. And then he quickly, you know, I love how in movies certain things happen at like breakneck speed. You know, like you know, he's giving these letters and now he must rush to the next you know, to the next office.
You know, in real life, this was like 8 weeks of paperwork and red tape.
That's right. That's right. And it, but he just like runs across.
Yeah. We're moving on up the chain of command.
That's right. And then he basically just goes across the you know, to the other side of the office and opens up a door that says on it, Captain T.E. Sanders. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, you see him pause for a second as he's walking in. So he that probably means that he's, you know, saying, excuse me, sir, I want to tell you something. You know, but we don't get the privilege of hearing him say that. We just get we get to watch him make that pause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he and this woman then go to another character. This one, obviously, we just said is Captain. He's credited as War Department Captain.
All right, Captain. Yep.
David Wall, who I've seen in many movies. He's actually an actor that this is not the first time that I've seen him in things. You know, he was in Revenge of the Nerds. He played Dean Ulich.
I'm assuming that's where most people recognize. I recognize him from Madam Secretary because I watched that show and he was in several episodes. And then I also saw on IMDb he was in an X-Files episode. So, and it's like this came out when I was right in the thick of my X-Files obsession. So I bet I had a moment of like, I know him.
Right. He was on one episode of the X-Files, actually the year before this movie came out.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, the timing is right.
There was a TV show that I used to like back in the early 90s called Brooklyn Bridge. He played a character on that. He was on 28 episodes of that.
Okay.
It also took place around now. It was like World War II, around the World War II era, you know, in Brooklyn.
He was in so, like, he has like 1, 2, 3 episodes on so many. Like, name a TV show that you watched, and he probably guessed it on it.
That's right.
Point.
Right. Here, like, he was on Roseanne.
Yeah. He was on Home Improvement.
Alf, 30-something.
Yeah.
Duet. Family Ties. He was in 4 episodes of Family Ties, and each one of them he played a different character.
Nice. So he's a that guy.
Oh, he was in the Bronx Zoo. Wow, that was a great show with Ed Asner. I remember Hill Street Blues, Saying Elsewhere, Remington Steele.
Yep.
Woohoo! Ooh, he was in Daryl. He was in one of my favorite movies, Brewster's Millions. Have you ever seen that?
There you go. I think I've
seen. With you know, Brewster's Millions was with Richard Pryor.
I definitely like am aware of. I'm trying to think if I've ever like watched the movie though, and I think I have.
He was in Gotcha. Wow. Anthony Edwards. He played the professor. Ah, now I even remember who he played. He played the professor. He played the professor who shows him how to use the tranquilizer gun when they need to tranquilize a tiger in the. Now, I mean, I see on IMDb there's a picture of him with Lloyd Bridges. I'm trying to figure out what that's in. That's in Hot Shots Part 2. Okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense. So yes, so David Wall plays this unnamed character who is named by the stencil on his door.
The credits were slacking.
apparently. Yeah, you know, well, again, you have to watch this minute by minute in order to figure out what it is, you know.
And in this minute, he gets to talk.
Yes, he does. But before he gets to talk, I wanted to ask you if you know where the name Sanders comes from.
Chick chicken?
It's a good question, but not. Sanders apparently means the son of Alexander.
Oh.
Because it comes from Xander.
Yeah. Huh.
And it could also mean defender of the people. So I think that's pretty cool. Shout out to our friend Alan Sanders, who probably himself does not know that he is son of Alexander or defender of the people, but he probably would like that.
Now he knows.
I'll have to ask him. Yeah. And one of the most the obviously you have Colonel Sanders, who you've mentioned, but one of the most famous Sanders was Larry Sanders, which was the fictional character that Gary Shandling played on TV. Mm. As a he was a fictional talk show host named Larry Sanders. So yeah, very cool. Exactly. So again, the three of them have this conversation. They're having their little powwow, and again, it's great how we get the impression that we're there, but we're not in the room with them. They show us, I guess, the secretary who's standing at the window looking in, and we're like right next to her. So it gives us like the idea that, okay, what do we see here? What is she hearing? What is she finding out? And same thing with us. We see them move their lips. We see them talking, but we can't hear what they're saying. Which is great. And then the scene changes, and we're a door opens, and Captain Sanders comes into that door and starts talking. Finally, we have someone talking in this minute. And he goes, "Colonel, woo! I've got something you should know about." And then the colonel stands up and says, "Yes." Now, I'm assuming you recognize who's playing this colonel.
Yes, although I had to look up when Malcolm in the Middle started, because this is played by Bryan Cranston, and he was not Bryan Cranston when this movie came out.
That is correct, which is why he's playing a very small role of War Department Colonel.
Yeah, War Department Colonel Bryan Cranston. Yeah, it's and again, he'd done a lot of TV stuff, so you might have seen him. And I realized I would have known him. I was obsessed with the Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg miniseries From the Earth to the Moon, in which he plays Buzz Aldrin. I would have recognized Bryan Cranston. But to me, he would have been that guy. He also
he was on Seinfeld. He was an anti-dentite on Seinfeld.
See, but I wasn't as into... I was trying to think of, like, what I would have seen him in, and I don't know that I would have caught him in Seinfeld, but I know I would have recognized him from that. And then I was like, I wrote down Buzz Aldrin, That Thing You Do, and then I wrote Tom Hanks with arrows pointing to them. So I'm guessing I know how he became involved in this production.
Correct. Now, one of the very interesting things that you can notice here is that, this character is missing an arm.
Yes. Okay, and Bryan Cranston is not.
That is correct. That is correct. But
just to make it clear for anyone watching. Mm-hmm.
So in the novelization, they actually mention that this was something that General Marshall actually did, was he would hire wounded officers to work for him in order to give them to help their morale and allow them to continue serving their country, even though they no longer could serve on the fronts and stuff like that. So it's interesting that they would take a colonel, who has lost his arm at some point or whatever. And now we actually also find out his name in a roundabout way, because he has a nameplate on his desk that says Colonel L.W. Bryce.
Okay.
So what's my next question for you, Tierney?
What does Bryce mean?
Yes.
You tell us.
So apparently you don't know. it is, there is a clan known as the Clan McFarlane, which Bryce is part of it. So it meant that somebody was part of this sect of the Clan McFarlane, known as Bryce. It unfortunately didn't give us more information as to what it really means, except that it's a Celtic or Celtic name. Bryce obviously can be a first name or a last name. I was actually very surprised at how many people are listed on this list whose first names are Bryce. I didn't think it was something that was that popular, but there's a list here of at least 50 people named Bryce. 50 notable people. And there are even two females named Bryce. One of them you might be familiar with. Any idea? Have you ever heard the name as Bryce as a first name for a female?
Isn't there a Bryce Howard actress?
Yes, there is.
Is it Howard? Okay.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay.
Who is the daughter of Ron Howard. Born in 1981, she's an American actress and director. So
you have a kid obsessed with Jurassic Park, it's not hard to know her.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, I had a friend in high school. His first name was Bryce. No, my thing is I like that it's accurate that like that they would hire injured soldiers for the War Department. I mean, it makes sense because it's like, well, why wouldn't he be on the front lines while he's injured? But I also like that having him missing a limb kind of reminds us that this isn't the start of the war.
Correct.
Like we started this movie half an hour ago. The war's only half an, one day old for us, but it helps put it in the context of this has been going on for
2.5 years. That's right. The war's been going on for 2.5 years already.
People have gotten injured, recovered, and taken new jobs in that time.
That's right. And even be given a job in in the War Department.
And they have learned from previous things, and I think next week you will get to talk a little bit about real Private Ryans.
Yes.
That weren't named Ryan. So,
correct.
It's kind of a nice little like putting us in time.
Correct. Thing. Yeah. And at this point, Captain Sanders then says, he moves forward and says, "These two men died in Normandy," and he hands him the letters so that he can see what he's talking about. And then he goes, "This one at Omaha Beach." And then Bryce looks at it and goes, "Sean Ryan," which is the one we know who died.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts talking and he says, "This man at," and then he gets cut off. So, you all are going to have to wait until next Monday to find out what happened to the second man that they're referring to. But I like the framing of the way that they do this. Instead of having us hear this story three times, the clerk herself, mm-hmm. she finds it. We don't know exactly if you haven't seen this movie, you don't know what she's looking at. She's rushing into an office, and then the lieutenant rushes from his office to the captain's office, and the captain goes to the colonel. And it would have been very repetitious if they'd said this story four different times. Waited till the final time.
But you also can't jump straight from her to the colonel because she would never barge into the colonel's office.
Well, that's what's called chain of command.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. come on. She can't go near Bryan Cranston. look at her credit and look at his credits. Come on. Look at the hand. That type of thing. So that's how this minute ends. And again, I like the way that they do this. Here we have military officers who are clerks that are still doing very important work. And this shows mm-hmm. that you can still do very important stuff, not just being on the battlefield, which I like. I'm just very curious how this female clerk figured out how she remembered that there were all of these Ryans that were being typed up. You know, because it's not like she had a computer that she could do a quick search on Google and say, okay, I have a database. How many Ryans are on this list? And how many are from Iowa? And things like that.
I understand. Well, and the reason she is the hero is because we can assume that the two originals are Sean and the other brother that was killed in D-Day.
Correct.
And so these two, you know, maybe they're only a few letters apart when they cross her desk. And so that's when she realized, like, hey, wait a minute. This is going to, oh, no, they're this is going to the same address. Oh, no, they're brothers. It's the fact that she is able to remember the one from earlier that week or whatever.
That's right. Well, no, again, he was the third. A little spoiler. I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit next week. Yeah. But, you know, he says that this man died last week. But, you know, we don't know when they actually wrote up the letter. It could have been on the exact same day, because if they say that, you know, again, later on, we'll get more into this next week. But if they say that the mother is going to be getting all three telegrams letters on the same day, it's presumed that they typed up all three letters on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible.
Yeah. But yes, she's our hero because she's the one who connects the dots.
Yes.
And remembers the three rides.
That is very true. So, Tierney, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
It's not specific to this minute, but I have one last book to shout out this week.
All right, excellent.
And it's my origin story. You know, if they ever make the comic of me, it's The Story of D-Day, June 6, 1944, by Bruce Blivinger. It's a landmark book that was published in 1956. And I call it my origin story because these landmark books that Random House published, this is number 62 in the series. My elementary school library had a whole bunch of these landmark books. And they were in the section for the third to fifth graders. And I was only in second grade. And I was supposed to be over with the younger books. But my best friend Anna and I knew we were good readers. And we snuck into the older. Now, again, this is like one room. I don't know what we thought we were doing. I mean, I remember like army crawling with my you know, my elbows into this section. I mean, they had to just be watching us. We weren't subtle. It was 1992, you know. But the landmark books were on the bottom shelf. So they were the first thing I came across. And I don't know why I picked this one. There were a whole bunch of them. I could have picked any subject, but I picked The Story of D-Day. And I became obsessed with this book. Checked it out multiple times over the next 3 years and eventually bought a copy for my very own to have forever. And so that is my origin story of how I got interested in military history.
Oh, wow.
Was Bruce Bliven Jr.'s book, because it's for it's, you know, for young readers to understand how it worked. And it starts and it explains, you know, every battle has a D-Day. Why am I holding this up to the computer? This is an audio medium. sorry. It's the thing that taught me, like, okay, there are lots of D-Days. But when people say, you know, D-Day, they usually mean the invasion of Normandy.
Yes.
Okay, the different beaches. Okay, Canada, Britain, which one's got which sector? Where's Eisenhower in all this? Like, that is, it is what set me on my path, for better or worse.
Oh, we know it's for better.
That is why I am here talking to you today.
That is correct. All right, excellent. All right, so every Friday we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg-directed films. So, Tierney, why don't you give us your top five? Start with your number five and work your way up.
All right. I'll start with my number five. Now, I do have the slight caveat of I have not seen The Fabelmans. And from what I have heard, it might have made this list. But I have not seen The Fabelmans. I also haven't seen all of West Side Story yet, but I think these still would have beaten it out. Number five, and people are going to be like, number five, you're crazy. I have Raiders of the Lost Ark, an excellent Steven Spielberg film. Number four, I have Bridge of Spies, excellent Steven Spielberg film starring Tom Hanks. It's just so good. Number three, I have Schindler's List, excellent Steven Spielberg directed movie about World War, but specifically about the Holocaust. And I feel like that really changed the way we as a society talked about the Holocaust. I mean, I remember having to get permission slips signed to watch that movie in school.
Oh, wow.
And we did, you know, they piled us all in and rolled the TV on top of the little cart in, and we watched Schindler's List. But yeah, we had to have our parents sign because it's rated R. So,
wow, interesting.
That was a real, like, that was a game changer movie.
Okay.
And you could argue that Raiders of the Lost Ark is a game changer movie, but it is an adventure movie. It's a little, feels a little different. Bridge of Spies shows he still got it. So that had to go on the list. Numbers one and two, again, with my list, you could flip flop them depending on how you're feeling. Number two, I have Jaws. Just an all-time classic. And number one, I did put Jurassic Park, even though it is more of a kid's, it really shows the Steven Spielberg mastery because it has that kid's element. It has the technological advancement element, but is still just a classic. That movie does not age. I mean, it just is perfect.
Okay. That is definitely fair. All right. Excellent. Thank you very much for that list. Would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find Tierney Steele?
For one final time, the beta name, Tierney Steele. The reason it's Tierney Steele and not a lot of times you'll see Tierney Steele Callahan on some stuff is when I was a little girl and I was Tierney Steele, I said, I'm going to be an author someday. And so when I started doing podcasts, I said, oh, my professional name is Tierney Steele. And I did finally write a book. So you can find The Post Road by Tierney Steele, available at all fine book retail. I mean, like, you could just go into any bookstore and ask them to order it. You could buy it off Amazon. That is a possibility. You could ask your local library to get a copy. That's also valid. And if I ever stop procrastinating by guesting on fine podcasts like this one, there will be a sequel to it someday.
So I promise not to invite you back this season, so therefore you have 6 months free time.
There we go. Boom. Free time to write a book.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. You can go to my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter. So, Tierney, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been very insightful for me and hopefully for everyone listening. Hopefully for you, too.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love doing these. Thanks so much for having me on.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time to join us this week, especially, you know, when you need a little break from eating that turkey. So there you go. All right. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. So everyone have a great weekend. But until then, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude.